Welcome to the Profitable Content Podcast with your host Joss Speaks Digital. It's time for profitable content.
Okay, so Priya is here on the podcast, and I'm saying that correctly, right?
Yes.
Awesome. I'm horrible with names, and I butcher them a lot, so I want to make sure I'm saying it correctly. So Priya is on the podcast. She is a comedian, and already I can tell you guys she's going to have some really great stories. You produce a comedy, is it a special, or what do you call it, a show?
Yeah, a stand-up comedy show.
And it's called?
Cougars on the Loose.
How did you come up with this name? Let's start there, and then we'll move back into what you were talking about here before we started recording.
Yeah, so when I started out in comedy, again, I started last year during the pandemic, and I started on Zoom. I wasn't really seeing a lot of stand-up comedy shows that spoke to my age group. So I'm 52, and I'm a single mom. And
Wow, you look good, girl.
Thank you. Thank you. So a lot of shows that I was seeing, you know, featured younger comedians, millennials, a lot of them talking about the same sort of challenges or jokes in terms of dating and dating apps and things that related to their age group. But there wasn't a lot that was speaking to my age group. So, you know, the 35 to 65 parents, couples, divorcees, co-parents, all that kind of stuff. And so I decided to start a show called Cougars on the Loose that would feature mostly female comedians, because that was another thing I was sort of seeing, that most comedy lineups would have maybe one female on the lineup, sometimes none, not always a female that comes from our age group. So I wanted to hear and see comedy that I could relate to. And that's where the idea came from. So our show mostly features female comedians ages 45 and up. And as I said, we try to tell funny stories, witty one-liners, hilarious jokes about our lives, love, relationships, kids, all those kind of things. And it started off this year in July. We did the first show at a small bar here in the East Bay, San Francisco. And it was well. And I just thought it was going to be that one time thing. And since then, it's just kind of been picking up momentum. And so now we've done the show, at least we'll be doing it our third time at the Dark Horse Lounge in Hayward. We have done one show at the world famous Turf Club here in Hayward, and we're doing a second one next month. And we're just taking it to other venues. And so far, it's being pretty well received. People have interest in it. And I think, again, it's because it speaks to one of the largest demographics in the U.S. population and here in the Bay Area. So,
wow. Well, you're educating me. I did not know it was the largest demographic right now, right? People talk about millennials all the time, like millennials, right? So you kind of figure that they are, but you're right, right? A lot of my clients kind of fit that same, you know, where it's like 35 to 65, right? Where they're just like, this stuff, you know, because we didn't grow up with this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It was like starting, but it wasn't like all the way here. So tell me some of your challenges with content creation, around it, all that good stuff.
Yeah, for me, it's been a challenge to kind of come up with, you know, to be constantly coming up with new material. I think every comedian feels that challenge, even if you're a seasoned comedian or a new comedian, you know, trying to find the balance between topical subjects and subjects that are universal and that you could use at any given moment. You know, I think I just try to sit down and look at my life and write down things that I can remember from different stages of my life to try to come up with what's the funny around it, where's the humor in all the experiences that I've had. And, you know, I work with a group of very talented female comedians who have a lot more experience doing it than I do. And sometimes we'll have a, you know, writing group, a virtual writing group, where we'll kind of brainstorm ideas. Or one of the nice things about having started a comedy on Zoom for me was being able to make connections with other comedians that might be at the similar stage as myself, or have been doing it a little bit longer. And I've been able to make those friendships. And sometimes I can reach out to them and say, hey, what do you think about this idea or this joke premise? And so you do a lot of that, of brainstorming, because something can sound funny in your head, but once you say it out loud, you're like, maybe that wasn't as funny as I thought. So yeah, content creation is definitely a challenge. I think one of the maybe benefits for me is that as I'm a middle-aged single mom, my son is 7. I think there will be a wealth of material coming. There's not going to be a lack of it. It's just going to be how to put it into that joke format and be able to create something that's going to be humorous, where you can show the humor in the pain of a situation, for example.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love it. And I love the fact that you talked about the connection you have via just utilizing digital, right? And being able to connect with comedians, I'm guessing all over the place, right? Not just in the Bay Area.
Yeah. So I have comedian friends in London, in Toronto, in Omaha, Nebraska. I mean, all over the United States, all over the world. And one of my comedian friends that I met on Zoom recently flew out here to do one of my shows, which was really wonderful. So it's been a really incredible experience because it has allowed me to meet people and develop relationships with people that I probably otherwise wouldn't have if I hadn't done comedy. So it definitely gives you a different perspective on life, human beings, how we are, you know, how we behave, things like that.
And so why comedy? Because your main profession is it nursing or is it, what's the main profession you would consider?
Yeah, so my main profession is as a project manager for a drug development company. And I think comedy sort of, I don't know if I found comedy or if comedy found me, but, you know, I was sitting on my couch last year when they told us we were going to have to shelter in place in March. And, you know, here I was by myself with a then 6-year-old who was super hyperactive. And, you know, I was trying to figure out how not to need bail money at the end of the day, you know? And so I just started kind of writing stuff about my life in that moment and finding the funny in it and doing these virtual open mics and hearing people laugh at things that I wrote or a joke that I wrote was really kind of oddly satisfying. And it just kept, you know, and then I just kept doing it more and more. And now I've been in it for like 1.5 years and it, you know, I still am still doing it. You know, it's the learning process. It's not like the interesting thing I think about comedy is that it's really something that you get have complete control over. You know, you can make it as successful as you want, or you can make it as less, not as successful as you want, right? It's all up to you, which is sort of different from being in the corporate world because you sort of have, you have goals that you need to achieve. You have a performance evaluation. Somebody tells you, okay, well, you've done a really good job. Here's a bonus or something like that. And there's none of that in comedy. You know, you only know that you've succeeded or failed based on a laugh that you get, really, you know, and even if you don't get a laugh, it doesn't necessarily mean that your joke didn't work. It just means maybe it didn't land with that particular audience. So, you know, it's such a self-creative process because you can make yourself into whatever you want as a comedian. And it's freeing and it's also scary at the same time because you don't necessarily know what you're doing and you kind of find out the rules, quote unquote, or the, you know, the politically correct things to do in comedy as you're going through it.
I mean, I feel like that's what a lot of content creators may feel that way, right? It's like, you're just trying to navigate it and figure it out. Cause you're like, you know, and then too, you kind of see people, you're like, do I like that? Do I want to do that? You know, and then no, I want to be different. And, you know, so you always have that feeling. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, women in this field. Cause you mentioned earlier that, you know, you didn't see a lot of representation of women in this field. So talk to me a little bit about that.
I think it is still quite skewed to male comedians, but I have been fortunate to connect with a group of female comedians here in the Bay Area that are really talented, very professional, extremely funny. And, you know, together we bring this chemistry to our Cougar show that I think is really great and it resonates with the audience. But as I find my comedy evolving, I do find it hard to find good comedy role models. You know, so initially I was drawn to a lot of the more successful male comedians that everybody knows, you know, Trevor Noah, Joe Coy, Kevin Hart, all the typical names that you would hear. But now that I feel like I'm trying to give a more female voice to my comedy, I find myself seeking out female comedian role models. And they're not that easy to find. There are a few that, you know, as you go through and you watch comedy specials, I'm like, oh, I would really like to see how this female comedian tackles a subject. And you don't see that many. And so I try to consciously make an effort to put a lot of females on my shows to make sure that it's balanced, to make sure that the female voice is heard. because especially women in my age group, we have a unique perspective. We have a unique point of view. And I think it's what people want to hear. I think people want to hear our stories because it's relatable. They can identify with the humor that we find in it because some of them are living the same experiences.
And I mean, this kind of resonates a lot with me with content creation. And I even feel like as you were talking about like females, and I started to think like, oh yeah, that really, you know, but then I think like Linnell, you know, she's from Oakland. So she's a huge, you know, kind of comedy person. And I was trying to think of like other women and I'm like, oh, I can't really think off the top of my
head. Yeah, they don't just roll off your tongue.
But then when you think about
Tiffany Haddish, Monique Marvez, Fran Drescher.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, but coming up like now as I'm in it, I don't see a lot of new female comedians, particularly of my age coming
up. Oh, yeah. No, but then I think about like folks that I see on TikTok, right? And so I wanted to ask your views on, I'm going to put air quotes in the air, social media comedians. And, you know, because a lot of people are like, no, they're not a comedian because they're not, you know, whatever. They're only on social media. So has that shifted? Has it changed or is it the same? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, you know, because I think before the internet and before social media, the only way that a comedian could become known or become recognized is if they got a spot on the Johnny Carson show or on the David Letterman show. That was the pinnacle of your comedy career. And that's kind of what launched it. And, you know, there was no such thing as, you know, posting on social media or posting videos on TikTok and YouTube. And so the internet and social media has definitely changed the comedy landscape, even for comedy bookers. You know, they look at comedians' social media, and if you have a significant number of followings or you have a lot of people, followers on TikTok or Instagram or wherever, you're more likely to get booked at a club. But that doesn't necessarily mean you'll be able to bring most of those people to your show. You know, most of your followers are living all over the world, right? And they're just interested in liking your stuff on social media. They're not actually interested in coming to see you perform, you know? And so
I've even heard cases where too, they're funny in a skit or something like that, but they can't get the laugh in person.
Right.
I've even heard that.
Right. Right. And so, you know, there's a lot of comedians came out of the woodwork during Zoom last year. A lot of people started to pursue comedy during Zoom, but they haven't been able to transition from Zoom to live, right? They prefer that kind of visual medium. And so, you know, they're Zoom comedians, right? And they'll only
really?
Do
I didn't even know Zoom comedians were a thing.
There are some that just do Zoom, and some of them make a living at it, and some of them just do it as a hobby. Some of them prefer it because it's easy. They don't have to travel. They don't have to leave their home. I still do both. But, you know, I still do live and Zoom. I don't think Zoom is going to go away with comedy, but I don't think that it will be as prominent as being in person. It's definitely a different experience when you're performing comedy live for an audience than when you're doing it over Zoom. Now, I try to keep up with all the social media with posting and stuff like that, but it's definitely hard, especially when you're a mom and you've got other commitments and you're working full time. You know, it's like you doing the social media part, it's like its own full time job.
Can you repeat that again, right? Everybody looks at me like, oh, well, it's only going to take you. No.
You know, that's a good hour out of your day, a minimum. You know,
and
I'll be honest, I'm not very
good
at TikTok. Yeah. I don't have a TikTok account. I'm not very good at it. It's just enough to manage the ones that I have right now. And so I think that comedy is still a word of mouth game. It's still networking and getting in front of the faces of people who book shows and things like that to get stage time. Having a social media presence, I think, helps. But, you know, if you haven't performed comedy in front of an audience, it's not just having social media presence isn't going to be enough, you know.
So you need a combination of the two.
Yeah.
You need a combination of two. So, well, thank you for telling me about Zoom comedians because I didn't even know that was a thing. When I think about content creation and I think about comedians, you know, I feel like comedians often get left out of the conversation around entrepreneurship. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about I know you've, you know, pretty new to the game of comedy, but I wanted to hear kind of your entrepreneurship brain, because you also mentioned that you do producing of like different shows and things like that. So the entrepreneur in you, how are you getting paid for this stuff? Like, how are you making money?
Well, anybody that's a comedian will tell you that there's no money in comedy, you know, unless you're extremely successful, unless you're at the levels of the Kevin Harts, Tiffany Haddish, and so forth. You know, if you're a working comedian, you're exactly that, you know, you're hustling for gigs, you are, and if you're also, many comedians will also produce as well as perform in order to get more stage time, because there's millions of comedians out there. You know, and it's hard to know what a booker is looking for in terms of a comedian. Comedy is so subjective. You know, you could have a great social media following, be very funny. But if that booker doesn't like your style, then, you know, you're most likely not going to get booked, right? So I've been told a lot that comedy is a business, and I do believe so now that I've been doing it for a little bit over a year and a half now. And fortunately, I think that's where my professional background helps me, because I already have a certain work ethic. I already know how to be professional. And comedy is really like based on the honor system. Your word is really everything. So, you know, if you tell somebody, if you ask somebody to be on your show and then you don't follow through with that, you know, you're not going to be able to establish great relationships with comedians or with clubs. So I've been able to leverage a lot of my business acumen in comedy in terms of how I produce and how I create the shows. I try to look at the comedians and I try to put together a show that's going to be energetic, that's going to have chemistry among comedians, and that's going to ultimately make the audience laugh. Now, there's things out of your control. You can, you know, you can promote and advertise as much as you want, but, you know, without actually going to somebody's house and dragging them to your show, you can't guarantee that people will show up, right? But we do a lot of social media advertising. We use Facebook, we use Instagram, you know, and what I've noticed with my show, with the Cougar Show in particular, usually the first time I do it at a new venue, it's kind of, people are like, what is this? You know, they may not have been used to seeing stand-up at the venue before, so they're not really sure what to expect, but they really enjoy the show. And so by the end of the night, they're like, oh, when are you guys coming back? That was really great. And so it does tend to resonate with people, but it takes a little while for it to take off the ground. It's not like you can, not like a musician going up there and just singing and belting out a great song and then and moving the audience in some way. Comedy is a little bit different because you have to, or have already been used to seeing stand-up, right? And so if you're doing comedy at places outside that are not a comedy club, it can be a little bit more challenging. And so you have to be a little bit more aggressive with your marketing and posting and getting your comedians to help with the posting and sharing and advertising.
So the question I have for you was around how you come up with your ideas. How do you even come up with the content that you're going to put out there when you are doing a show? I know you said it kind of stems from your life a little bit, but
every comedian has their own process for how they come up with their material. You know, some comedians can just take a premise and, you know, come up with a joke on the spot. You know, most comedians have to go through some sort of joke writing process. So when I first started, I think like many people who start comedy, you think, okay, well, I'm funny, so it's easy. I don't have to write. I don't need to learn how to write jokes. I can just say stuff, you know. But there is a certain formula to writing jokes that elicits laughter. And it is a skill that you sort of have to learn. Some people are better at the creative process than others. You know, I think one of the struggles for me is that I used to be very creative. I used to do a lot of creative writing when I was younger. And then as you get older and you get into whatever profession you get into, it all goes away, right? And so I've got more of a technical brain than a creative brain. And I'm trying to tap into that creative side again. So,
I'm,
you know,
so glad you said that though, right? Mm-hmm. I want to stop you right there really quick, because I think that that's a huge thing. I think we kind of get, and I talk to my clients a lot about this, like we get into the world and then somebody keeps telling us we can't, you don't, you that, and that, and then all the rules and restrictions, and then you lose the creativity, right? We don't lose it all, but the pieces of it like leave us because we're so like, oh yeah, we gotta, you know, and I gotta make this money and, you know, follow right. certain rules and things. And so you lose that creativity. In order to get it back, you kind of got to be playful again, and you got to look at life in a playful manner in order to get mm-hmm. some of it back. Even with just creating content for businesses, it's like, how can we be creative with this? Well, we can say, click on the link in the bio. Well, what's a different way we can kind of, you know,
right.
how can we infuse something different into it? So I'm glad that you said that and you pinpointed that.
You know, comedies are really interesting. I mean, they always tell you to not be afraid of failure in life. But, you know, when you're in the corporate world, you know, it's more something that's said, but not really put into action.
Not practiced at
not
all.
Not practiced. And I think comedy is the one place that you are encouraged to fail. You need to fail to be able to get better. And I've had some definite moments where I've really bombed hard, and it's making me a better comedian for sure. And you have to be willing to just not care about what somebody might think about what you say, so that you can really allow yourself to go to the most, you know, infinite place in terms of your creativity. And it's a process. It's not something that, you know, there are a few people who can do it well and do it quickly. You know, Robin Williams probably is one of the comedians like that, you know, could just get up on stage and riff on a joke and things like that. But most comedians are writing a lot, rewriting, and working out their material as often as they can to get it to a place where they're comfortable with it. And even when you get a joke to a place where you're comfortable with it, you know, it can still die, it can still not work, and then you're like starting the whole thing over again. But it is the true creative process, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I watched one of the Kevin Hart specials and he was saying something about his writer. And I was like, wait, comedians have writers? Because I also thought that you just get up there and you just, you know, you're funny, you know? And I learned the hard way. My kids tell me all the time, like, you're not, that's not funny. I mean, like, you didn't think that was hilarious?
No.
So, you know,
yeah,
you
I think
learn
every
that.
Every comedian in the world probably has a writer or a mentor or someone that helps them with their writing. It's just you know, it's hard to have as wide of a lens. You know, any comedian's going to have a particular point of view. And so you might write something that you think is extremely funny, but then you bounce it off of someone and they're like, well, that could be considered punching down. Or, you know, that might be considered offensive. And so you need to be able, you have to work with someone to kind of bounce the ideas off of, to be able to find the right perspective that you want to tell the joke from.
That's great. I have one more question for you. And then I'm going to ask you a personal one. Producer versus performer. Can you break that down for us? What's the difference between the two?
Yeah, it's funny. I was asked that question when I first started out in comedy, whether I was a producer or a comedian, and I think I'm still figuring out. But on the producer side, I would say that it's a very much more business oriented. So you're thinking, you know, if you sold an idea for a comedy show to a client, then you're thinking, okay, who am I going to put on the show to make sure, you know, I look good as a producer, that the client's going to like, you know, you're thinking about the promotion material, you're thinking about the show length, you're thinking about the comedians that are going to go on the show, you're thinking about how much do I want to price tickets for to be able to attract a good crowd. So you're thinking about all those business things around it. You might be performing, but your sole purpose is going to be to make sure that you put on the best show that you can. Whereas as a performer, you don't have to worry about any of those things. Somebody invites you to be on their show, you just need to show up at call time and be funny. You know, that's all you got to do is to deliver funny. And when I'm not producing, it's a wonderful feeling because I don't have to worry about any of that other stuff. I can just worry about my jokes and, you know, connecting with the audience.
Nice. So my last question for you is around your content. What is the one thing you hope that your content does in the world?
I hope to be able to educate people through my comedy. A lot of my comedy focuses on my Indo-Caribbean heritage. I was born in Guyana, South America, and I was raised in Canada in the 70s when immigration to Canada, that was the first time they were seeing people of color coming to Canada. So I grew up with a lot of racism. I talk about that in my comedy. I like to break down some of the stereotypes that Americans have about other cultures. I lived in Brazil for a long time. People associate Brazil with just sun, beautiful women, beaches. It's not just that. So I'm hoping that my comedy kind of educates people about who I am and about some of the cultural stereotypes that we have, and just helps people to see my perspective on life.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So it sounds like your comedy is definitely a way. Do you feel like the comedy was a way for you to release during the pandemic?
Definitely. Sure? I think it definitely helped me cope with the isolation, the uncertainty of everything that was going on, and parenting at the same time. And it's just helped me to really kind of learn to just take each day at a time because you just never know what's going to happen. I mean, in comedy, you know, one day you could be at the top of your game and the next, you know, it just takes one joke for you to, you know, be canceled these days. And so it just helps you to not take life too seriously.
Yeah. So any last thoughts you would want to leave us with around just either your shows or the content that you produce? Any last thoughts that you would want to give someone who is out there who may be even thinking about comedy?
I think if you're thinking about doing stand-up comedy or thinking about being a comedian, you definitely should just try it. You just never know, you know, and it's a journey. It's not like, you know, it's not like other professions where you can wear that hat for a while and say, okay, I don't want to be a doctor anymore. I'm not going to perform surgery anymore. Now, comedy is not quite like that. It is quite addictive. So if you have a good show where you get the laughs that you want, that just keeps you, that fuels you for the next time. And so I think that anybody who's interested in doing it should try it because you will learn a lot about life, about human beings, about just people's experiences because we all live in our own little bubbles and we all have our own preconceived biases about the world and about human beings. And comedy has really helped me to break those kind of things down. And I think that it's a great thing to have in your life, comedy, even if you're not a professional comedian, even if you're just performing on Zoom for your family and friends, their laughter is never a bad thing.
And I lied. I got one last one. What is the perfect comedian? What are the ingredients to a perfect comedian or a perfect comedy show? I guess we could say that. What would a person bring to it that would be like the perfect, like, yeah, you should be a comedian if you have these qualities or if you bring this to the table.
That's a good question. I think humility is definitely one thing. You know, you could be the funniest person on the world, but if you have an ego, you're not going to connect with your audience. Your audience wants to feel your vulnerability, right? That's what makes the comedy work. And so being able to be humble, being, you know, ego-free, and being able to connect with your audience, I think is what makes a great comedian. If you are able to leave your audience wanting more or feeling like, wow, I had a great experience, I think that's